Kill Car pissed me off. How do other people podcast?
Better. We're going to do the quick and dirty version, whereas we like to call it the JM70.
So many.
What are we calling the segment, Jeff?
Lick my entire pig.
And that'll be for our sister site, buildabearcustoms.com.
Have you called Prince?
I did, actually, once. I got his voicemail.
What did it sound?
Talk to you right now to leave a message.
It's either the podcast or P.F. Chang's.
You made the right choice.
JoeCustoms.com is the home of the world's premier G.I. Joe customizing website. Its purpose, to learn, improve, share, entertain, and showcase the work of the customizing community, wherever and whenever possible, to whomever shows interest. We'll help the community. Wherever there's customizing, Joe Customs is there.
Joe Customs.
Hi, this is John Peeler. Welcome to the Joe Customs Podcast.
Hi, this is Dan, also known as The Spectre.
Jason.
What's up? Hi.
That's Lance Sputnik.
Hi. I'm John Pilo.
Yeah, don't say it as me. Say it as you.
All right. That joke's getting old anyway. Hello, this is Joe Michaels 70. Hi, this is Jeff.
All right, so Jeff, what are you doing? Killcar did what now? He touched you where?
So somewhere along the way, Killcar got me upset. And I know that's hard to believe because I rarely get upset and he rarely can do that to people. But he pissed me off to the point where I wrote down on a piece of paper all the work in progress customs I had going on. And I've got a list of 88 here in front of me.
That sounds so, more like your issue than his. Just saying. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I don't. P-Love, mute his mic. He can be a part, but he can only listen.
Jason, please don't try to talk sense to the crazy people. It just angers them.
All right.
Oh, you doubt me? Pick a number. 1 through 88.
14?
Yeah. That is a badass custom. And it's a combo custom that will include pieces from P-Love and Raptor, who's already finished with his part. Myself, the Joe Customs mascot, and then the whole thing's going to get shipped off to Bindi, and then there'll be some photos taken. Expect it to be done sometime between assembly required and the next JoeCon. Got another number?
Wait a minute. Last year, you had bags of parts, couldn't tell what the custom was, couldn't tell where the parts came from. And now you're telling us not only do you have parts set aside, you know where the parts came from, who they came from, what they're for, and tentatively when you think you'll finish it.
Kill Car pissed me off.
Let's go to the front.
Anyway, so that's that little exercise and fun.
Jason, try to mute your phone when you're not actually talking.
Actually, I have been muting it because I'm at the same time while I'm talking to you guys, I'm playing Uncharted with the mic, and I'm like switching back and forth from headphones, and it's crazy.
Dude, that totally sounded like some scary movie.
She just wants
poltergeist thing in the background.
Wait, did you just say she wants pulled pork? Is that what he said right before he cut out?
She wants to play with her markers.
Oh.
Or pulled pork, you know. I mean, come on. How can you miss that?
One of us is dieting.
Actually, guys, 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago, I gave up soda and junk food. I've already dropped 8 pounds without doing any exercise.
Yay.
Yeah.
I dropped 4 pounds earlier today.
I dropped 3 pounds before we started recording.
That's all this flushing I heard?
Yeah.
All the flushing.
All right, let's go on the assumption that we can't get Jogan Warrior on the show tonight.
What? Have you been trying to get him on?
Yeah.
Boy, this is not working out with our guest tonight, huh?
So sad.
How do other people podcast?
Better.
I don't get how do people do it, like, every week. I'd love to do it every week, but I don't think we can actually get a show done every week.
Say it.
I know a lot of people who start out doing it every week. And then it just falls. I mean, unless you're just the editing, it takes forever.
And about 7 years in, you move to a different podcast and it starts all over.
Yeah. And then you get somebody else to edit for you who has, you know, professional skills.
And Dan, have you ever seen the Avengers line Leader in the Wild?
No, I have not. I've never seen anything beyond Series 1, and that's completely gone now.
You ever seen a Marvel Universe North Star in the Wild?
That I don't believe was produced. It's supposed to be coming out as part of the Infinite Series, but it's in like Wave 5 or 6 or something like that.
I hate toys.
I know, I still want a Death's Head. That's the only figure I want from the Marvel Universe line this whole year, and I can't find one.
Hate them.
And even, like, I have not found any new Star Wars figures that are actually from this year. The ones I found were, like, the tail end of last year.
Hi. All right. Jonah?
Yeah, can you hear me all right?
Can you hear them at all, Jonah?
I can sort of hear them. I recognized Jeff's voice.
All right. So, this is Jogan Warrior?
Yeah, that's how you say it.
How would you say it?
Jogan Warrior. Yeah, that works. I had never really thought about it when I created it, like, how it was actually going to sound when someone said it out loud.
I like Jogan, so that's what I'm saying.
That works.
Where does that name come from?
You know, when I created it, it was actually on Joe Customs when I first created it, and I had to create an online handle, I guess, and I couldn't think of anything that was, like, sounded clever or cool, and I had a Shogun Warrior toy sitting on my desk, and so I was like, well, I'll just take out the SH and throw in my first initial and go Shogun Warrior, and that's kind of what's been, just like, 2002 or so.
It works.
Yeah, it works.
This is going to be so awesome.
We're not going to bury the lead here. We'll tell you right away. One of the reasons why we wanted you on the show is because you're basically killing it in the red laser versus blue laser challenge. I mean, we looked at the numbers. We actually, you know, ran a query on the database to compare this year versus last year, and we'll get to that in a second. But by far and away, you're leading the group in no matter what laser.
That's so awesome.
So
I don't know how many I've even submitted.
I can tell you, I got the numbers. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah, Jason, say that again. How many?
So many. I can't even tell you. It's just ridiculous.
So when you were like, yeah, I've kind of gone through the backlog, I was like, yay. And then like, but now I'm going to do some more. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, I got new ones that are coming up like each week. So the ones I'm on right now are pretty good anyways. They're ones that have been completed in the last month or so.
Now, I've kind of lost track. Are yours all a real American hero?
Yeah, it's all stuff.
Well, that's convenient because I had pulled aside a prize specifically for somebody who was into O-rings, and it's a Alyosha Broken Arrow Night Force Hit Run cast kit that he put together.
That sounds sweet.
So after the show, I'll hit you up on PM and get your address to send that out to you.
Right on. Yeah, that'd be awesome. I've never once customized any like modern era figure or even attempted it. I didn't even think I would know what to do with it.
It's a pretty different experience, honestly. I try and go back and forth, and it's just totally different skill set.
Yeah, it's the plastic's so different. There's no carving into it.
I just want to interject here and say that although the number of people on the site who are Real American Hero diehards, which would include Tim121 and Rambo and Nova and Chad Matt, and who am I forgetting? All I know is that you have made their entire summer. What you've done has just been astounding, and you just keep putting all this goodness up and just showing that, you know, that the Real American Hero medium for customizing isn't dead whatsoever. So here's my question. How old are these customs?
How old are they?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that you're saying that some of the recent ones are only a month old, but how far back have you been digging?
Let's see. I started back in like 2002, and I had gotten, a few of them, you know, 30 or so on the site back in the day. And then around 2004, I took a break from the hobby in general, and I was like focusing on, you know, this career in comic books, kind of a pipe dream that ended up fizzing out a few years later. And so I went back to Joe collecting and back to the hobby, I want to say like 2009 maybe, 2010, and that's when I started again. And I had to basically start from scratch because when I'd gotten out of it, I'd pulled off like all my custom fodder, I sold off all the parts, all the paints had gone, you know, bad at that point for the most part, and I had to get all new supplies, so I was like really starting over. But when I got
Yeah, just to see it all at once, you're first taken back like, oh, wow, this guy's got, you know, really tight painting skills. You know, the camo is always good. The detailing is always good. The parts, I mean, it's always awesome to see somebody break down, you know, parts and mix and match the parts that I've been seeing for 20 years and still come up with something that's really cool and imaginative with them and do something awesome that we really haven't seen. I mean, it just brings me back to the old Evil Face and Live Evil days.
I still take a lot of inspiration from a lot of those, you know, older customs that I find on the site. You know, Live Evil, Hypno Hustler, Asgard's Grand Slam. I take a lot of inspiration from them. I still go back and look at those, like, ideas and things that I want to try that they've done that I've still never tried before. Even with as many figures as I've done, I've never tried Pythonizing anything. I've never done any, you know, Python Patrol camo on anything. Right now in my garage, I'm trying out Tiger Force camo on a vehicle for the first time ever. There's a lot of things I've never even tried yet.
Dan, did you have any questions?
No, just I was going to comment on the tight paint apps, but that's already been covered.
Oh, sorry.
And this stuff looks, you know, it's basically almost, I'd say, factory. It's very, very well done. You know, staying inside the lines, no slop. Very good work.
Thanks. Thank you.
P-Love, running through the segments.
Hold on one second. Hold on.
Are you pooping?
Oh, he is pooping.
Yeah, he must be.
Guys, I think he went to poop.
He's dropping a few more pounds like we were talking about before.
I think he's been pooping the entire time. I think he needed some paper.
Yeah, are you coming back to assembly the choir this year?
I am, sir.
Excellent.
We're bringing a whole crew this time.
Great. I can't wait to see you guys again.
We're all kind of on a crusade to get Sputnik to come this time.
Cool.
Brian, actually wanted to know if I would carpool with him, Jason.
It's not about the ride. If I had the time, I could go.
Oh my God. It's like 6 hours up to Cleveland and then from Cleveland all the way over.
From Cleveland to Moore, is that like an 8-hour drive?
Something like that. But with two people, it's a little bit easier because you can take breaks and switch out.
Yeah. Back in February, we drove to New Orleans from Des Moines just for like a vacation, and that was like a 16-hour drive. And that, I thought I was going to go insane.
I mean, I did it to Indy, which was about 16 hours. And like, by the time I got to Indy, I did not want to be in a car anymore.
You guys want to talk about long drives?
No.
I did 17 hours to Florida. When I got there, all I wanted to do was sleep.
Jeff, how long was your drive?
What was it, 24 hours, 26 hours?
Jeez. That was to New Orleans?
No, I think the longest drive was actually from Minneapolis to Cleveland. I think that was the longest. Then New Orleans would be second.
I drove from Salt Lake City to Cleveland pretty much nonstop. It was like 40 hours. That sucked.
What?
Wow.
Whatever, dude.
Dude,
come on.
I was young then.
40 hours.
Something like that. It was
through
really
the mountains,
long.
Both ways.
No.
In the snow.
Wyoming was pretty flat, so.
I drove to Europe.
He's lying.
Part of the trip was really wet, but he made it. No, I said part of the trip was really wet, but he made it.
And,
I think most of the trip, any trip that he goes on is pretty wet.
Fresh.
Fresh. Chana, what'd you say? Derailed. Our other guest tonight is SD Caper. Sean, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Sean's under a time limit, so we're going to do the quick and dirty version, or as we like to call it, the JM70. Jeff, did you have any questions?
Hey, what does your name mean?
My name is, well, the SD is my initials, and Caper is something I came up with, like a 1920s gangster caper, and I just put it together, and that's what it's been for the last 20-plus years.
You've been online for 20-plus years?
Yeah.
Do you think there's any chance you could do a Dio story called SG's Caper?
I probably could. I'm actually working on a couple of figures of me and my wife that would be perfect for that.
Is that a euphemism for something?
Perhaps.
I have a whole bunch of things I want to talk about, but in the spirit of moving this along quickly, I will pass the torch. And by torch, I mean...
Yeah, that's going to get cut.
It's already been cut.
Oh. And just like that, it's back in.
Okay, back to the serious portion of the interview. Sean, as a lot of people know, you have a truly epic universe you've got going on, known as All That Remains. Would you like to give our listeners a little bit of background on how that came about?
Well, it came about because I love zombies, and I love pop culture, and love G.I. Joes. And when I started customizing, I wanted an enemy other than Cobra, and zombies seemed to work, and it's just grown from there.
Well, with your other remains, like, you do the customs, but you're not doing, like, a Dio story. You're kind of, like, doing fan fiction that the customs kind of fit into. How does that kind of come about, doing the much bigger overall storyline?
Well, the original plan was to do Dios, but I started it while I was living in New York City, and I had no space to set up Dios, and so I love writing. I've been writing for probably 15 years in various media and forms. And, I just started writing what I thought I would one day turn into some Dio stories. And it's just 60 chapters in now. And I'm going to start adding smaller Dio chapters to it to break it up. Cause I know a lot of people don't like reading the whole thing. They like looking at pictures. So, I'll get some people some pictures.
Dude, that's lowest common denominator right there.
I feel your pain, Sean. I too write very, very long chapters for each of my customs, and most people just scroll down and look at the pictures. Never read the stories.
On my website, allthatremainsbeyond.com, I have
Wait. Can you say that again, nice and slow, for the camera?
Of course I can. On my website, allthatremainsbeyond.com, I have a dossier section. It's kind of like my version of expanded file cards for every figure that I make. And it's actually the thing with all that remains is I really wanted more people to do it with me, and to participate and submit figures and write their own dossiers and even submit some chapters. But it's been hard to get people on the bandwagon, so to speak, or involved. Dan's written a couple chapters, and I know he has some more planned. Anyway, the dossiers, people don't read them. They scroll right over them. And the thing is those dossiers tie right into various chapters, and everything's all connected. I have a lot of people asking me, why did I make the Incredible Hulk gray and a zombie? And I'm like, well, that's my version of a Nemesis Enforcer. And then they don't understand because they didn't bother to read the background I did with Mindbender and all that.
Usually the answer is, sorry, coach, I had football practice. I couldn't do the reading.
Or reading with that.
One of the things I really like about your customs is, you know, sure, you shoe in, you know, the occasional guest star or whatever, but really just when you take, you know, made up characters or existing G.I. Joe characters, but you really delve into that, how that character would think in those situations, their gear all makes sense. Like, there's a lot of thought process that goes into those customs. Have you ever just been stuck where you really wanted a character in there and just couldn't figure out a way to make it work?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had a couple characters. A couple years back, I did a contest to try and promote my website, and I made a list of characters for people to choose from that they wanted to enter in the contest. And it was all figures that I was stuck with, things like Quick Kick and Charbroil and stuff like that. And I got some really great work from other customizers.
So I noticed that you and Dan Spector kind of have this nice, easy relationship. Are you guys like friends in real life?
In real life, I would say yes.
Oh, yes. Very, very good friends. We do a lot of stuff whenever we can get together.
Yeah, we'd come over here for barbecues, and he was at my zombie-themed wedding reception, and we've gone to NJCC together. Yeah, we're definitely good friends.
So does that mean that maybe you'll be at Assembly Required?
Yeah.
In November?
Possibly.
Okay, GTFO, buddy. You realize that's in Iowa, right?
You know, doesn't really matter. I go all over. I've been to San Diego and Boston, Chicago, wherever.
Have paintbrush, will travel.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to have to return to this conversation as November gets closer.
All right. Outstanding custom.
Outstanding! Best of the best of the best, sir. With honor.
I gave it a 10. I can't. Woo!
Jonah, what, have you seen any custom recently that have blown you away?
It was pretty prolific, this, you know, but the resurgence that, you know, Bucky and Oreo Builder had done, Dusty 79. The one thing that blew me away from that whole project was the Orca at LTV.
Right, yeah.
And, like, the one toy that I used to dream about having as a kid. And I would even, like, pretend I had it. I would take, like, my old sled, like, you know, snow sled, and put a little box for a cabin on that and load that with vehicles and just seeing that, like, realized, it was like a dream come true.
That was on my short list as well.
Yeah, that was amazing. And then, I know it may even still be, like, a work in project, but, Bloodred gave his Cobra super heavy inner tank made out of the General was pretty inspiring as well. And I even picked up, like, last year I picked up, like, a spare General. I was like, I have no idea what to do with this. And then seeing that just gave me, like, all kinds of ideas.
That's awesome. So we can expect that next month? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I don't know about that. There's a laundry list of vehicles I'm trying to get done in the meantime.
Is it an actual physical list?
Yeah, I have notebooks of, like, ideas and lists of things that I want to do. And I've got a dresser in my basement, like where my desk is, that's just full of random spare vehicles that I've picked up with the anticipation or the purpose of painting it at some point.
So this physical list you got it numbered?
As far as, like, how many are on there, right now there's probably, like, 10 or so items on it right now.
What's number 8?
Number 8, I would say, because it gets moved towards the bottom each time because I'm kind of afraid of the project, but it's like, I had this idea for, like, this rapid deployment force type team using, like, a suborbital dropship, and so I picked up, like, a Crusader shuttle that I'm going to try and turn into this dropship. I just don't exactly know how I'm going to do it yet, but that's probably number 8.
So that's why it's intimidating? You just haven't wrapped your mind around how to make it happen?
Yeah. I haven't wrapped my mind around how to make it look like a dropship and less like the space shuttle. And then also, it's got the idea is to have a vector, like the Battle Force 2000 vector jet, like somehow piggyback on it for close air support. And so to get those two to attach is another challenge I'm trying to tackle in my head.
Earth magnets.
Yeah, that might actually be the easiest way to do it.
That's my answer for everything, though.
As a quick aside, I think this whole whip list random number thing might be a legit segment. We just need to have our guests prep their list ahead of time.
Don't encourage him.
No, don't encourage me. I got a million.
Now whip it.
Move them on.
Hit them up.
Hit them up.
Move them on.
Move them on.
Hit them up. Whip it.
Cut them out.
Ride them in.
Ride them in.
Cut them out.
Cut them out.
Correct that whip.
Hey, Jonah, pick a number between 1 and 88.
75.
Oh, shit. That's not a whip anymore. I just finished that. That's Baron Strucker. pick another one.
42.
That is one of the Red Shadows using the kit from Angel Forge that I don't even remember the name of the character anymore. That's how long it's been a work in progress.
Yeah. Plenty of those.
One of the figures, I guess this should probably go on Workbench, but I'm saying it now. One of the figures I actually shoehorned into the latest GP is a figure that it's by far the oldest work in progress.
Ever?
Yeah. If you've been listening to the show, you know I've mentioned it a couple of times, is just the one that keeps changing depending on format, and I finally figured a way to get him into this.
What would you say the longest you had a figure or any custom, whether it be a figure or vehicle or whatever, as a work in progress, what's the longest you've had something on your desk?
This one's been 2002. I kind of came up with the head in 2002, came up with the body, you know, along the way, and then Hasbro changed format, so then he went to a new sculpt, and then they changed to the 25th, and I kind of, you know, the later new sculpt with the Duke ankles when he had the ankles and the rotating wrists, so I switched to that, and then they switched to the 25th, so he went in that, and now they have updated it again to, you know, the hinge swivels and stuff, and finally I was like, you know what, I'm done updating the body style, I just need to finish the custom. I don't want to say who it is because this show might air before the GP, so I don't want to say who it is, but you'll definitely know it when you see it.
Is it Lance Sputnik?
Whatever, dude.
It is.
It's not a Lance Sput.
Why not?
It's also not going to air before the GP. Come on.
Well, the group project is due. Entries are due on the 14th of September. It could happen.
John,
it could it's Spirit. Fine, you happy?
This is gonna be a Christmas special, guys.
Can anybody beat that? Can anybody beat the 2002 whip?
I have wrist figures that are still made from Power of the Force 2 parts from 1996.
Jeez. Pictures or it didn't happen.
I gotta dig them out of a box somewhere. They got to the point where I was just like, forget it. They just look terrible now in comparison to the modern style bodies. And that was like, you know, when Episode 2 figures are coming out. So
yeah, if they went into a box, they're dead. Just kill them.
Yeah, might as well just burn them for heat in the winter. Matter of fact, you can pretty much do that with any Power of the Force 2 figures.
Jason, what about you? What's your oldest work in progress?
I'd have to say a Tomax, a Mercenary Tomax. This would have been from about 2001. I had this whole scenario where Xamot was at a meeting with all the Crimson Guard in the extensive Enterprises building, and it got the whole 9/11 wreck, where the airplane slammed into the building, and then Tomax, he went rogue away from Cobra to go after the terrorists that killed his brother, and so he's totally not Cobra, just some kind of desert mercenary. I've never finished it. It's almost finished, and it's just been sitting there for, like 13 years.
Bunch of slackers.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into Outstanding Customs. Wait, we're in Outstanding Customs.
Yes, we are. A couple of us have already gone.
Yeah, I got derailed again. That may have been my fault. The other one I wanted to mention is the one I just saw, Dusty79's cup truck. And that looks just sweet. The paint that he got to match, like dead on for Cup. I've always liked that character anyway, and that's kind of what I would have wanted to have gotten from like an SDCC exclusive. But yeah, that was just awesome.
Yeah, he got that aqua fresh green just right.
Yeah.
And I was also impressed with his spike. Like, the figure's pretty straightforward, but he used the Walking Dead coat for him. I'm not sure if it's Daryl.
Is that where that came from?
Yeah, that's where he got the coat. That's what I was saying. Like, I've been picking up those figures, looking at the accessories, going, nah, it won't work, or too much work to make it a G.I. Joe figure, but just pulling the jacket off, I mean, it really sets up that character, you know, just by looking at it, you go, oh, okay, that's the kind of character he is. It's got a lot of character for a character. Did I say character enough?
I was actually quite surprised that he didn't use the Mutt Williams head in the Indiana Jones one.
Yeah, I might just be the common hatred of Shia LaBeouf, though.
Yeah, but I forget, even I myself used that head when I did my Spike figure for my Transformers crossover, so I was actually pleasantly surprised to see a different head. And the mouse head works close enough for for like the cartoon character.
All right. Let me see what I Lance Spending's Condor drone. He took the Ultimate Duke and the drone and turned it into gave it the paint job of the Condor. Unknown Soldier did a Bat Hank from the Adventure Brothers. That's one of those customs that when I saw it, I was like, and that's going back, but it was still awesome. And that's one of those customs, when you see it, you're like, I never thought I'd ever see that kind of custom. Giving a figure a toy mask, a Halloween mask, you know, just crazy stuff. Dremel did those Dreadnought trikes using the Star Wars speeder bikes. The really stretched out look for them, I thought, worked really well.
Yeah, I thought those were wicked.
And then Jay did the Ultimate Big Brawler, which I think he even said in the thread, there's no way that three different types of camo should work on a figure, and yet it works perfectly for Big Brawler.
I heard a thing about Jay's Big Brawler, and I don't remember the other character, or the actual, original character being that balded, but just having, being bald on top and having the hair on the side, I thought was awesome.
he wasn't that bald, but I think that Christopher Lowell, the interior decorator, I think everybody kind of tacked it on to him being the personality for Big Brawler early on.
Right. The thing that really struck me this past, I guess, the time since our last podcast, that Lara Croft, the Cap, did was really cool. It did, like, based on the new version from the video games.
Right.
Such an outstanding, just, like, I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it. It really captured the feel of the character from the game, despite the fact that it's not accurate to her costume in the game. It captured the feel of the character. Like, you knew automatically, as soon as you saw it, you knew who it was. And I thought that was fantastic.
Yeah, that was an incredible custom. Everything Cap does is awesome, but that was sweet. Very, very awesome.
All right, Sean.
Yes, I definitely have seen a lot of really great customs. In fact, everything that was done for the G.I. Joe Resurgence was amazing. I love those. I got a lot of inspiration off of those. And then Dr. Bindi's Guardians of the Galaxy work is Star-Lord is phenomenal. Even that Wraith head as the base for the mask is something I never would have thought of.
Yeah, that was really well done. Between his work and Matt Lynn pointing out how much the mini-made accessories work, I had to start one of my own.
Yeah, I went out and bought the mini-mates to try one.
I'm starting one, too.
He started the trend.
Yeah.
When are you going to start your work?
Jason, did you do outstanding?
I've never made an outstanding custom, but I'm going to echo the Cap and the Big Brawler. You know what? I've been doing so much in the gallery, so many things run together, and
yes.
It's been amazing. I'm just going to say this red versus blue thing has been, I'm just going to go out and just congratulate everybody because it's been my favorite time being on the gallery staff, honestly. It's just been super cool.
I
want
to come out with you, Daddy.
Okay.
So would now be a good time to talk about red versus blue?
Now would be a great time.
So, red laser versus blue laser. Jogan, why did this bring you out?
Well, I've always liked a challenge, and, I've been, since I got back into customizing, I had been trying to, like, post figures and to the Joe Custom site. I'm usually not very technically inclined, and I get just, like, frustrated and discouraged easily. And so I would try to post, and then it would say, you know, file too big or something along those lines, and I'd have no idea how to fix it. Or how to take pictures of smaller files. And so I was just kind of like, you know, I'll try to get some other time type of thing. And then with the challenge, I thought, okay, well, I'll try to get, you know, I'll find a way to get these pictures to work. Because, again, I like it. I like a challenge. I like contests. And then with, you know, when B.I. Thomas, or I guess he's no longer B.I. Thomas, but when he had, you know, had done, like, the file resizing thing or the auto-resize, I no longer had any of those issues, and I was able to just kind of go balls out, so.
How many figures you got in the gallery today?
159. Yeah.
How many do you have greenlit in the queue?
I have no idea.
160.
Not bad.
Let's talk about that. Red laser versus blue laser. As of today, which is about halfway through the contest, right? Wouldn't September be the midpoint with 3 months in and 3 months to go?
I'll accept that.
All right.
Math questions are hard.
All right. Well, as of today, red laser versus blue laser. Red laser at 348 customs in the gallery versus blue laser at 195. Now, that doesn't include what's in the queue. That's just what's been put in under the tags. So, go blue laser.
Yeah.
Always be optimistic.
Let's talk about custom numbers for a second. So, last year, in 2013, for the whole year, there were 640 figures added to the gallery. In 2014, to date, there's been 852 added to the gallery. 581 of those have gone in since May 7th. Vehicles last year, 49. Vehicles this year, 108 to date. Playsets last year, 26. Playsets this year, 23 to date. But in the queue right now, 452 figures. So even if we shut it off right now, that's, what, 1,300 figures added this year?
That's a lot.
That is a lot of customs.
It's fantastic.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It is awesome. You're awesome. Who wants some more stats?
I do, please.
Do you have stats?
I do have stats. Oh. Do you want to hear some?
Yeah.
For the longest time, and I mean years, Sharkbait had the most figures in our gallery at 227.
Really?
The person, yeah, yes. That's... And the person to knock Sharkbait off of the top of the hill, guess.
Jogan Warrior?
No, the person to knock Sharkbait off.
That was his guess.
Well, I'm just saying, it's somebody else on the podcast that's not Jogan Warrior, okay?
Is it me? Is it me?
Not you either.
Aw, man.
Was it SQ Caper?
No.
Was it you, Jeff?
It was!
Oh.
So for a very short while, I had the same amount of figures, 227. But if you add in the group projects, you add in the vehicles, and you add in the play sets, I have a total of 271 customs. And I was, you know, that was pretty good. Sharkbait all in was at 239, and I thought that was really good. But then I started looking deeper, and I started looking at these guys who were sitting in the queue and the guys that have been running. And Sean, SG Caper, has 177 figures in the gallery with 15 in the queue, some vehicles and some play sets for a total of 212. So he's right there. And then I thought, well, that's, you know, pretty fantastic. But then I looked at Ice Cream Man, who's got 248 figures with 4 in the queue, 5 vehicles and 3 play sets, which puts him at 260, which actually makes Ice Cream Man the king of the gallery right now. Ice Cream Man at the top of the list. But then I looked at Joe Gunn's numbers with 159 figures in the gallery, 2 in the group projects, 16 vehicles, no play sets, but 160 roughly greenlit in the queue, puts him at 335.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
Just to clarify, no play sets yet.
No play sets yet. 335. Holy cow. That's nuts.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Now, before we discount anybody else, I just want to say there's a lot of other players in this game, and I would be really remiss if I didn't bring it up because I was searching today and doing some number counting. Dan B is up there. He's got 59 figures, but a bunch in the queue. Alley Viper Elite is up there with 82 figures, but a bunch in the queue. And Oreo Builder, of course, just submitting like the train he is.
I'm sure Dr. Bindi would be in there, too, if we didn't have those limitations on what you could submit.
Yeah, his stuff is awesome, but it doesn't always meet the criteria.
That's the same thing I fall into, too. My stuff almost never fits the Joe criteria. Otherwise, I'd have, like, you know, 1,200 figures in there.
Like Joe Michael said, is we're only halfway through this, and it's still any team's game. I mean, anyone can still come in and run away with it.
I'm just saying, it's 348 versus 195. It's still red laser versus blue laser, and all you have to do to make your custom fit into the gallery is alter the bio of the custom to fit in your G.I. Joe world. And that includes off-planet Spectre.
Okay, so I can submit all 23 of those works I just did, and my 24 goblins and everybody else?
Lunar Ticks. Wait, are you red?
I'm not on any team. I didn't sign up.
Well, can you sign up for Blue Laser and then do it as Lunar Ticks?
That includes all my custom Cantina patrons and Jabba's thugs and everybody else.
You're only helping your case.
The Lunar Tricks have Daleks, right?
Yes.
All right, works for me.
All right, man, that was my page full of handwritten statistics from today. Spent like 4 hours coming up with all that stuff.
With doing the gallery staff with this red versus blue, every time I go in there and there's like that one guy, like C. Richter, who only does 12-inch customs, never does the forum, I always will kind of chuckle thinking when they come in to do customs and they see those numbers, do they just think that the world's gone insane? Because they're like, what the fuck? Where are all these customs? It's going to be like 6 months before my thing goes up. And I kind of feel bad for those guys because they're missing out on the good parts.
Actually, okay. You might need to bump from 10 to 25 at some point, huh?
We'll see.
All right. We are halfway through. It could die off, right?
Yeah. I mean, we peaked around 500. It's dropped just a little bit, but we're still well over 400.
Haven't you guys been paying attention? Jogan Warrior has been finished with his backlog.
And I haven't even started mine.
Oh, boy.
I've got a list of 88 whips in front of me here, buddy. 87, actually.
I'm hungry.
I got about 150 whip in progress that you're sitting right next to me.
You need to make a list.
Yeah, I do. I have a problem is, though, like, several groups of them together are the same thing. Like, I've got like 12 of this type of soldier, and I have 12 of this type of alien.
Well, then make that one entry.
Tune in next episode when Dan reveals his whip list.
Whip list. Oh, dude, this thing just wrote itself.
Sean, we just wanted to have you on in Jogan War because you guys right now are just killing the red laser versus blue laser challenge. You guys are just going nuts on submitting customs and showing off your work, and we just really wanted to congratulate you on doing such a good job up to this point.
Thank you very much. I have a lot more in store. You're going to be getting a lot of pictures.
Awesome.
Was there anything specific about the challenge that made you decide to post more to the site versus, you know, normally you kind of give a media blitz when you get something done, and we see it on Facebook and we see it on your allthatremainsbeyond.com. I get that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then we see it on Joe Customs, and I'm sure you're probably on some other sites that don't matter as much.
No.
I'm just wondering if there was something specific about the challenge that kind of lit a fire to start submitting more to the gallery.
Well, I've always liked submitting to the gallery, but the big thing was the photo resizing, which actually ended up not working out in my favor because iPhones default is bigger than what it can resize, so I got to do resizing anyway. I really like the idea of either getting a custom from someone else or sending a custom to somebody. I like that. And then I just realized going, like, when that started, I looked at how many I submitted, and it was like, my God, there's so many that I haven't. So I pulled out a bin. I still have probably 30 to 40 older figures that I've never even taken photos of. So it's making me want to work more, and it's summer break. I'm a teacher, so I had the time to do it, and figured I'd get in on it.
That's awesome, and it's been really awesome seeing your output. And I'm not being facetious there. I mean that.
Well, thank you very much.
Also, you know, go Blue Lasers.
Absolutely. Blue Lasers rule.
Jonah, what are you working on? The customizing workbench.
Let's see, right now, I was inspired by one of the group projects that you guys have done on the concept. And so I wanted to put together a concept in time for the upcoming assembly required. So that's what I'm working on right now. So I'm piecing it together, looking at, the 15 figure box set, and then, kind of a three pack of figures, a two pack of figures, and then a place, vehicle with the figures as well. I've got most of the good guys all pieced together. For the vehicle, I was going to use a Blockbuster, but I couldn't find one at a price I wanted to pay to tear one up. So I have a spare Avalanche that I'm going to use instead. So yeah, I'm starting to piece together the 15-figure box set right now. And I'm basically just using repaints of Cobra Royal Guards and Range Vipers. So I've got a few more of those guys to get, and I'll start painting it up. But my goal is to get that done in time for assembly required. I'd like to go one extra step with that and actually get, like, some box art that I can put on a box for display, but baby steps, one thing at a time.
Sean?
I actually, just today, I counted, I have 25 figures on my workbench right now. 17 are for commissions, 8 are for myself. Doing a bunch of police officers, some more firefighters, got an Alley Viper sniper I'm working on, got a couple demons, all kinds of stuff, actually. It's a pretty good mix of stuff right now.
That's awesome. We'll be looking forward to those. And the group project, you're working on stuff for the group project, right?
I did. I've already submitted a couple, and I've got a couple more that I'm trying to finish up before the deadline. Yeah, I think I've got one that no one would expect.
Hey, you realize that the NJC is due on Monday, right?
I sure do.
You got anything for that?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
What's sad is, I can't remember, the flat, Mr. Flat or whatever, you just got to print out something. I didn't even get a chance to do that. So sad.
Yeah, I actually already submitted for the NJC.
Really? For the Great Lakes Avengers?
Yes.
Yeah.
Two entries.
Oh, dude, you just like...
One.
Yeah, drop the mic.
Pretty much.
This conversation's over.
I mean, Sputnik says he's got one, but I'm pretty sure he's not going to have one.
Yeah, I've done two. I have one more sitting on my desk that I want to finish up tomorrow.
Nice. You're making the rest of us look bad. Congratulations.
Well, not me. I mean, that's pretty tough to do, but.
Jason, what's on your workbench?
Oh, gosh. So much stuff.
Why don't you start with what you showed off today?
I can, because, yeah, the Dojo Challenge will be over after. Actually, two things I showed off today. For the Dojo Challenge, I can say, because it'll be over, I'm doing a Big Bertha from the Great Lakes Avengers. Yeah. My first attempt at doing a chubby lady custom.
That's what she's... Wait.
That doesn't make sense, Jeff.
I know. But then, that's why I tried to pull it back.
She's all about the bass. No treble.
Since my daughter discovered Build-A-Bear, I spent a lot of time in there. And as a customizer is wont to do, every time I go someplace and I'm milling about, I just think about what I can do or find that I can use. And Build-A-Bear, there's tons of stuff. So at one point I bought a Darth Vader costume and boots, and then some little purple silky pajamas and some John Lennon glasses, and I'm one monocle away from finishing a Build-A-Bear Dr. Mindbender that I'm quite pleased with.
And that'll be for our sister site, buildabearcustoms.com. It'll soon join mylittlepony.com.
Dan, what are you working on?
Well, as I mentioned before, pre-show, I'm working on some trolls to go along with the orcs I just finished up and the goblins I had premiered a little earlier in the year. I have them in three different sizes, because in my little universe here, trolls come in three general sizes. You've got standard-sized trolls, which are about 3.5 to 4 feet tall. Then you have larger trolls, which stand between 7 and 8 feet tall. And then you have great trolls, which stand probably about 30 feet tall. So for the little guys, I'm using Target's exclusive Dino Warriors figures from about a decade ago, because they have this great bestial look to them, and they're small, they're squat, they're broad-chested and shouldered, and they have just a great troll-type look to them, and they're going to be completely repainted. I'm going custom armor, custom weaponry, same deal as I did on all my goblins and my orcs. And for the mid-size ones, I'm using A-Bomb and Apocalypse. No, it's not Apocalypse. I'm sorry. Abomination figures from the Marvel Universe. And my great trolls are Negator figures from the Masters of the Universe, which are, whatever they, 12, 14-inch figures. So I'm working on a troll army. I got 8 of the little guys. So far, I've got 2 of the mid-size and 2 of the great trolls.
Oh, that'll be cool.
Right, so I'm looking forward to finishing them. I'm actually kind of tinkering with them as we're talking here. I'm test-fitting some armor pieces.
Always customizing.
Always customizing, yeah. Every chance I get.
Jeff?
Pick a number.
1.
Castle Destro.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have anything new to report, except I pulled everything out that I had been storing in the shelves so that I can at least get a good view of what's going on. I set up a mock level of Castle Destro out in my garage so that as I'm cutting and fitting parts, I can just do it out in the garage, and then once it's complete, move it inside. But actually, the workbench is kind of based on what's coming up. And so I'm going to try to get something into next Monday's NJC. I'm going to try to get something into the group project that's coming up due. And I'm working on a big project that's been going on forever for Assembly Required. I think it could be a contender.
Jeff, I have a question. What? Do you really honestly think the Castle Destro will ever truly be finished?
You know, I was just thinking about this, and I think if I had a Joe Bro that lived in the neighborhood or somewhere anywhere close by that could light a fire, I could probably finish it. But for the most part, I just walk by it and I think, God, that's big.
That's what she said.
I told you in the past, I so wish that we lived closer so I could give you a hand painting that thing.
Have you called Prince?
I did, actually, once. I got his voicemail.
What did it sound?
Talk to you right now to leave a message.
You know, I could never get my voice that high if I tried.
Whatever, dude. You know you could. Don't try to make me look all...
I have to take a sledgehammer to the testicles before I can get my voice that
What are you really trying to say, Spectre?
I'm saying I have a very, very deep voice, and I envy your ability to go higher than that. I can't get any higher than this.
Oh, baby. My darling, I can't get enough of your love, babe. Yeah, that's right. You heard it.
All right. So my workbench
Oh, yeah, I forgot we were doing a segment.
Like I said, the spirit, I got to paint him up now. He's all set. Yesterday, I drilled in some holes in that Toys R Us Soldier Force submarine. Like, on one side of it, it's got portholes. On the other side, it's got stickers of portholes. And apparently that bugged the crap out of me more than I thought it did. So I went and drilled in holes and then put on some blue transparent plastic over the holes. So, I mean, I spent more time thinking about it than actually doing it. So it wasn't that hard. And then working on laser tag weapons. I think Lance Sputnik's custom inspired me, so I decided to actually make the laser tag guns from the 80s. Oh. The rifle and the pistol.
What'd you make them out of?
I actually chopped up, I don't know, one of the Rise of Cobra rifles to make it the pistol, you know, because it had the front hand grip of the rifle that I chopped up. It was a bullet style rifle. Had the curved handguard in front of the trigger handle, so it was perfect and kind of looks pretty good. It's the one I attached to the Rocket Raccoon with the Groot plant. He's actually holding the pistol. The rifle was, I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of it, but it was a Marauder Inc. rifle. It's X20, I don't know, and just added another handle in front and then connected it with a piece of metal. So it's going to be that white laser tag rifle.
The old Playmates Star Trek Next Generation figures, the Romulan pistol looks very much like a laser tag pistol. I mean, it's a little big for a 4-inch figure.
Yeah.
But it's the... I can even show you a picture. I have one right now. I'm going to send it to you.
Okay. I brought those up specifically. Like, the rifle is outside right now. The spray paint is drying. But I brought those up specifically because I wanted to talk about custom weapons. Back when I started customizing, like I said, Live Evil and Evil Face, they were the first people I remember who would actually paint the weapons. Like, other people were doing figures, but, like, their, you know, rifles and backpacks, they were detailing as much as the figures, so it was just as important to the overall custom than anything. And that's something that carried over for me. You know, when I started doing customs, it was the accessories were very important for the custom, and then I started tweaking the weapons, and now I'm making the weapons before I have a character in mind to use them. So I wanted to open it up to you guys and see, like, have you made any custom weapons? What's, like, the favorite weapon you've ever made?
Well, if I made custom weapons?
Yeah. I figured you'd like this.
I love making custom weapons. I make custom weapons probably more often than I make any other type of custom. I have piles of custom weapons. I haven't even made characters for yet. I love making custom weapons because you very rarely ever see it. I don't mean just painting the weapons. I mean actually like you did with the laser tag guns, chopping the guns and adding new pieces to it and everything else. If any of our 12 listeners out there have gone on the site and seen my orcs, virtually every weapon the orcs are carrying was custom made. I cut little bits of styrene, little bits of broken toys, little pieces from here and there, glue them all together and make something that's truly unique and that nobody else will have. And it's one of the most fun parts of customizing.
Jonah, have you done any custom weapons?
Yeah, I do have custom weapons that I've created. There's times where I've made the weapon first, and then I've had to make a figure to sort of fit it. I don't know if you guys have seen it. It's in the gallery. There's like a figure I have called Scorpion, and he's got this gambling gun backpack that basically it folds up, and then it opens out and goes over his head. He looks at kind of like a scorpion tail, as we refer to it as. And that was one of those weapons where I had parts sitting around, but one thing that the weapon is nothing higher than it, you gotta use it. And that's usually the case for me. I don't do the weapons a whole lot, but there are times where I will customize just weapons and not even work on a figure itself.
Jeff, what about you?
Yeah, I suppose I've made a custom weapon or two, or painted on a weapon or two, but to be quite honest, I'm kind of like the, I know that you, P-Love, love weapons, and you have an encyclopedic knowledge of everything that's ever been created as a weapon and then turned into a toy and then made into something else that also has a name. But to be quite honest, they're just not that important to me. I mean, I like, if I have an action figure that has a gun, I want that figure to have the gun while it's on display. But if I'm making something, I'll just grab something out of the bucket that kind of has the right size. or maybe it's a pistol, or maybe I paint it, or chrome it, or something. But to be quite honest, it's always the last thing, which you should probably recognize, since I still haven't posted my Shaggy custom because I can't figure out the accessories for it, including the gun.
It's like I go back to like drawings and notes I came up with when I was 10, you know, and this, you know, that sword I drew for that, the laser custom I did, that's where that sword idea came from. It was just a drawing I did about, you know, how can I make the Thunder Barbarian lightning sword more realistic? And it stemmed from that, and taking that childhood idea and making it a reality, man, forget it. That's awesome stuff.
You know, I generally try to avoid customizing weapons if I can, because it's a pain in the butt for me. I just don't like it. Honestly, with the only time I ever do it anymore is for the Dr. Mindbender things, when I try to make something else into his mind probe. And I've actually gotten okay at that, but otherwise I don't like customizing weapons. It's a pain in the butt.
Dan, it looks like it's just us and Joe.
Not kidding. Anybody asked.
One question I wrote down on the way home was, you guys saw the San Diego Comic-Con, the Gentle Giant Real American Hero figures they're coming out with?
Yep.
Are you guys planning on getting them? And if you're planning on getting them, do you plan on making customs with them?
No, I don't plan on getting them. I like doing just the 3¾ inch stuff. I can't afford to buy any other sizes. I have so much in the way of the one scale already, I'm not branching out. And two, I can't see anybody customizing with something that's at least $80 a pop just to get.
I just want to see the O-ring. Is that bad?
I would have no idea what to do with those things if I even bought them. Like, I would have no place to put them. I don't display anything, so.
If I did it, it would just be to reproduce the first custom I ever made. You know, the cool kid custom. That's it. That would be it. That would end it. Drop the mic. Walk off. That's it. The $300 custom. That's what that would be. What did you guys get in for customizing? Fodder.
Have I gotten anything recently for customizing? I've been buying stuff like crazy right now for the commission. Always looking for parts. I have a lot of fodder. I actually just bought an old G.I. Joe vehicle I decided to give a crack at. I've been getting into the small vehicle, because that's all I have time and room for. So I just bought, and I'm going to pull it up here, the G.I. Joe mini helicopter thing. I don't even know what it's actually called.
Fang?
No, it looks kind of like the Skyhawk, only with blades on the top and similar in design. It's one of the older vehicles.
Does that ring a bell with either of you guys?
A Locust blade? A Locust, yeah.
I think that's it.
Holy crap, I can't believe I got one right.
Jeff's channeling his inner hypno hustler.
Yeah, it's probably rubbing off on me, if you know what I'm saying.
No, I do not. And
we don't want to know about you rubbing off on the air then.
Jonah?
Picked up some figures. I picked up a Warhawk. What else did I get in? I got a 30th Sky Striker recently that I'm going to make my son for Christmas. I'm going to make him, he's a closet case My Little Pony fan, and his favorite character is Rainbow Dash. So I'm going to make him a Rainbow Dash Sky Striker for Christmas. So it'll be like the Rainbow Dash colors, and then on the tail fin will be his cutie mark. So that'll be his Christmas present.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
And that's about it for me.
Dan?
I've actually got quite a few things recently, fodder box wise, and all of it really, really cheap. As you know, Toys R Us was having that super mega clearance. I picked up from one of the Toys R Us's, a little out of the way one in Maine, the Skylanders game had a carry case for the little interactive figures that looks like the turret of a castle. They came out, they were $20-something, really nice, but not worth $20-something. I got them for $2 a piece. I got four of them. So if I ever get around to building a giant full-scale castle, I've got the four corners.
Nice.
Yeah, I've also picked up, and probably the most unusual found items I found recently. I was in a dollar store on Route 46. I stopped in because it was in the same mall as the Barnes & Noble I was going to. And I found these little doorknob stoppers you attach to the wall to prevent the doorknob from impacting the wall and leaving a little divot. They look like a stone octagon. Sextagon, I guess. It's like a six sides. And they look like it would be the base of either a plinth or a statue or a column. I got them for $1 a piece. I grabbed the 6 they had on the shelf, and the 6 of them you can actually make a squared off circle with them. So you can make a little coliseum or a little altar or ritual area, anything you want to make with them. I just have to figure out what type of columns I want to put on them, or statues or whatnot. And speaking of columns, this is actually something I was only going to share with the Boss Fight guys, but they let it slip. I found a company that does Greek and Roman columns, and they are action figure scale. They're made for wedding cakes. The company is called Wilton, and I found a restaurant supply store online called WebsteronSupply.com. I got 3-inch, 5-inch, and 7-inch Grecian columns, dirt cheap. I got a dozen of each, total shipped was $36. They also had some Roman ones, but the Romans were quite big. They only came in 10-inch and 13-inch, and they're a little on the expensive side. They run about $3 a piece, so I'm waiting to order them when I have a little bit of extra fun money floating around. But they're going to be set aside for some dioramas in the future, so I'm going to be moving into mostly now fabrication. I'm not really going to be buying much in the way of figures anymore, simply because I've got most everything I want, and the few things I do want, I can't find because distribution sucks right now. So I'm moving almost strictly into fabrication, and I've been picking up pieces here and there for that express purpose. Oh no, I got it in the mail today. I got 2 cast Stargates. They're the same size as the very first Stargate I did for my Stargate Temple about 10 years ago. So they're smaller than the Diamond Select one, so they're not true 1/18 scale, but they're good for mini gates. I got 2 of them in the mail from a trade with a Slim. So that was for my firebox.
Cool. Jason?
I really don't pick up much anymore. Although, yeah, in that clearance blast that they were doing, right at their last markdown, I somehow got lucky and got that, the elf house thing. It's like a big tree trunk with a sling. I hadn't had my eye on it forever. And I ended up getting that for like $5, and it was originally like 60, I think.
It was $35 originally.
Was it 35?
Yes.
Something else was 60 then, but
yeah, Shadow Rock was like 68 or something like that.
Oh, I think that's what it was. So I was just happy as a clam to pick that up. And really, the only other thing I just thought of is that Gray Viper from 50th anniversary. He just makes a nice base figure. And not to use it as a Viper because he doesn't represent any classic Vipers.
That Elf House, if you want to make it a little more masculine, take a look at the Orc Outpost that I did with it. You can see it looks really good once it's painted up in hetero colors. And if you want extra of those little flowers that attach to the side and another swing, I have them. You can have them.
No, I think I'm good on those.
You guys are getting so lucky with that stuff. You know what my Toys R Us bins have had for the past few months? Those Cars chrome parts. That's it. 3 bins filled with that and old Leapfrog bins.
Did you get the jet engines from the car parts?
Nope.
Oh, the jet engines are nice. I missed those.
Yep, they never made it there. Just the car parts. Yep, rims. If you want rims that are out of scale of the G.I. Joe, you let me know. I'm like, you guys got play sets in there? People were getting figures in there?
I got that Greek boat for $12.50. So the Bindi went out and got 2 of them once he saw that I posted it. That was a great buy. $12.50 for a $50 playset, vehicle package.
Yeah. Guess who the second Bindi boat's for?
You.
Bob, you're good at this game.
Oh, thank you.
Somebody said their Toys R Us had the Tomahawk, the Retaliation Tomahawk, it was marked as 44, but when they brought it up, it said 0.
Oh, yes, I saw that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what world you people live in, but in my neck of the woods, that did not happen.
Hey, I got a free Tomahawk from the Hasbro Park. I was happy with that.
Yes, you win.
I turned around and sold it to DJ.
Let's see, other than the Star-Lord Mini-Mate that's going to be chopped up into a custom, I went to a consignment store nearby, and I don't know whether... I got just a pile of Star Wars and Joe parts that it looked like some kid or amateur customizer. And I'm not knocking his skill. It's just you can tell it was somebody who doesn't do a lot of customizing. It was very unfinished work. So maybe it was work in progress. Maybe it came from Jeff. But
was it numbered 89 to 125?
No, it was just like a big Ziploc bag filled with chopped up guns and Luke Skywalker with like marker sharpened over half his face and stuff. Very Mad Max space pirate-y stuff. I'll take some pictures of some of the figures that I liked out of it. And it looked like, you know, maybe they were inherited. So like maybe the younger brother inherited it from the older brother, because half of the figure would be Ghost Rider, then the other half would be some of the shield of Captain America, like you try to fix broken parts and stuff. It was weird. And for some odd reason, like 20 left hands, but only 15 right hands. I couldn't figure out why. Just to see somebody else like chopping up and, you know, go customizers. That's all I want to say. Now I turn you over to Joe Michael 70 and his new segment. What do we call the segment, Jeff?
Lick My Entire Pig. No, wait, I'll tell you. No, really, that's what it is. Wait, I'll tell you.
Oh.
Okay. You can see all the rehearsal that goes into these shows.
This is brand spanking new. It happened in the car ride the other day.
All right, so ask your questions.
Okay, so we got this thing, and it's kind of a tear from NPR's Wait, Don't Tell Me. Are you familiar with that?
Not really.
Are you familiar with NPR, National Public Radio?
Of course.
Okay, good. What it amounts to is they get a bunch of celebrities to come on and they ask them three questions. And normally what they do, the celebrities play for some random listener in the United States. And if the celebrity gets two out of three correct, then that random listener gets the show MC to leave them a specific answering machine message of their choosing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, in our case, that's Spectre. So I'm going to ask you some questions, actually three questions. And if you get two out of those three, at least, right, then Dan is going to record a voicemail for you. How's that sound?
Awesome. Let's do it.
Or maybe he'll just call you and say, in the immortal words of Meg Ryan, take me to bed or lose me forever, darling. Okay. Are you ready? SG Caper.
I am ready.
Blessed as we are by your sharing of your customs on our site, even more impressive is your long-running and immersive prose and dial story, All That Remains. So let's talk about remains. Here's your first question. What is a body farm? A research facility where Hey, are you typing this into Google?
Absolutely not.
All right, no Googling. That's cheating.
Wait, there's rules.
Oh, the rules are going to change every time. Wait till we start getting to the shots.
The rules may change in the middle of a question.
Question number one, what is a body farm? A research facility where human decomposition can be studied. B, the place on the body where corns grow. Or C, the place where Roadblock practices massage.
Ooh, now that last one there. I watch a lot of SVU, the most twisted show on television. So a body farm is where bodies decompose.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Do we have any, like, we need some sound effects, or at least maybe in the future I should have Dan read the questions.
Yeah, maybe in the future. But, we'll plug in some, like, crowd cheering and, you know, correct answer buzzing and stuff like that.
Also, Sean, tonight your name is SG Guinea Pig because you're the absolute first one this is happening to.
Woohoo!
Okay, SG Caper, question number two. According to Ulrich and Hetfield, what exactly remains? A, stains. B, an itching, burning sensation. C, memory. Or D, Cliff Burton's ashes.
memory.
Very good. C, memory. You know what? Let's keep going, even though he's already got two. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right.
Could be a tiebreaker.
Oh, yeah. I forgot. We got another. You're playing against an opponent that's not playing right now.
All right.
Okay, player SG number Caper. One.
Number three. I ran out of other things, so we're going to do words that rhyme with remains. Which word describes a municipality in the autonomous community of the Principality of Asturias? A, Duquesne's. B, Mucanes. C, Cabranes. D, Sierra Gordo.
I have no idea. I'm going to take a shot at the angle of B.
B? B as in boy?
Correct.
McCain's is incorrect. Correct answer is Cabranes. It's like an area in Spain. So in other words, the Cabranes in Spain are mainly on the plains. Bonus question.
Oh boy.
Chance to redeem yourself. Ready?
Sure.
You rode through the desert on a horse just to get out of the rain. What's the horse's name?
The horse has no name.
Aha!
I can't believe you used that.
All right, man. Think about what you want Spectre to say and let the rest of us know, too, okay?
I will. I'll think about that and let Dan know.
Thank you for playing.
Now, Jeff, you have some questions for Jonah?
No, I'm good. Oh, I know what you're talking about. Wait, I'll tell you.
Man, I got a quick question for you. Who's the best Joe Customs podcast host?
Okay. Who's the best Joe Customs podcast host?
A. Brad. B. Dan. C. John. Or D. All of the above?
I'm going to go D. All of the above.
All right. Fuck you, Pila.
Thanks.
Okay, should we do this?
Yeah, serious questions.
All right, we're going to play a little game. It's called Wait, I'll Tell You. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you some questions. And if you get, I'm going to ask you three questions. And if you get two out of the three right, we're going to have Dan record you a voicemail message and or leave a voicemail message. Sound good?
Okay.
Do I have you all on the edge of your seats?
About to fall on the
floor. Yeah, my palms are sweaty over here.
I'm just sitting on the couch. I'm actually quite comfortable.
I hate you guys. Anyway, Jogun Warrior. I couldn't find the term Jogun online other than used as a name, all right? But it seemed derivative of Shogun Warrior, which I guess you've already covered, the Mattel toys of the late 70s, and that's what we're going to talk about, okay? Three of these toys were licensed by Marvel for their Shogun Warriors comic. They were A. Ray Dean, piloted by American stuntman Richard Carson. B. Combatra, piloted by Japanese pilot Genji Odashu. And C. Here comes your choices. Number one, Mega Maid, piloted by Dark Helmet, going from suck to blow. Two, Vanguard Ace, piloted by Madagascan oceanographer Longo Savage. And three, Getter Dragon, piloted by Homer Winthrow, Paladin Spencer, and Elmo O. Fossil, also known as Foul Tip.
Is there not an option for all of the above?
There is no option.
I have no idea. I'm going to have to just throw a guess out and say number two.
Number two, Vanguard Ace, piloted by Madagascan oceanographer Longo Savage, is correct.
Yay!
Okay, Shogun Warrior. The Shogun comic from Marvel Comics ran for 20 issues. Who was the artist? A. Larry Hama. B. Mike Bosberg. C. Herb Trimpe. D. Prince. E. Kanye West. Because there is no other true artist, according to Kanye West. Or F, Michael Bay.
Well, I know it's not Kanye West. And I'm pretty sure it's not Michael Bay. I know that Trippy had done covers, but I can't remember if he did interior art. I'm going to go Trippy.
You're correct.
Yay!
C, Herb Trimpe. However, we would have also accepted B, Michael Vosberg, because he did the art for number 15.
Oh, all right. It's just random.
So, two for two, going into question number three. Shogun Warrior. Between February and July of 1979, Marvel also had the rights to Godzilla, and Herb Trimpe drew both comics. There was a robot created for the Godzilla series that was mentioned but never appeared in the Shogun Warriors comic. Who was it? A. Red Ronin. B. Red Robin. C. The Samurai Destroyer.
I remember as a kid I had a Marvel encyclopedia and it had like all these random characters and I just had one volume of it and it was like Art S. And Red Ronin was a character
Dude, you're killing it. And you're correct. The answer is Red Ronin.
Yay!
Although the Samurai Destroyer destroyed the Shogun Warriors off-screen or off-panel after Marvel lost the rights to the characters. Okay, Shogun Warrior, bonus question. You ready?
I'm ready.
What Shogun Warrior did I own as a kid? A, the one with the spike and shield hand. B, the one with the lion face in the torso. Or C, the one with the circular saw wrist.
I'm going to go one.
Wrong, brother. I'm the one that had the circular saw wrist.
See, and that was probably the easiest question out of all of them.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you for playing our game. You've got 3 out of 3, and whether you want Spectre to leave you an outgoing voicemail message or whether you want him just to call you and talk sexy, that's up to you. You work it out with Dan.
I'll have to speak on that one because I don't know.
Yeah, you think on it long and hard. Do you have anything else for Jonah? Do you miss anything?
I'm good. I'm gonna see him in November. Hey, Jonah, you live there? Is that your town?
Yeah, I live in Des Moines.
So here's a question. They're doing it at a new place this year, which I think sounds pretty interesting. Well, let me put it this way. We went to the library last year. This year is somewhere new. But where's everybody going to come stay?
I don't know where everybody's going to come stay. I don't know. I figured they'll put you up in, like, the nicest hotel. You know, presidential suite at the, downtown Marriott or something like that.
On their website, it says stop at Jonah's house.
You can stop at my house. I've got a little 3-bedroom Cape Cod style story and a half home. I've got a nice big deck in the back that you guys can camp out on.
You said deck, right?
I did say deck.
I just have to say, there were some portions of your interview with us, Jonah, where we couldn't really quite make out what you were saying on the phone. It was very distorted. It was almost like having Kenny McCormick from South Park as our guest tonight.
Sorry about that. But I've never used Skype before, so I don't know. I may have done something wrong when I tried to set it up.
Yeah, Skype hates me. It's not your fault. It's my fault. So he's actually on the phone. He's not coming in through Skype. He's on a line in, but it's a phone, so... Yeah.
Thank you guys for having me on. This is my first podcast, so you guys are busting the podcast cherry, and I couldn't think of a better group of gentlemen to have do that.
I can assure you, Jeff is grinning ear to ear right now.
Here. Oh, yeah, no idea.
Well, it's been great having you on. Thank you so much.
A pleasure. Pleasure all mine. Thank you. You guys always do such a good job with it, and it's always so much fun to listen to. So, loved it. Loved being a part of it. It was fun.
You realize that now that you've been a guest, the next time you're on, you're going to be a guest host, right?
That's fine. That works for me.
That's how it works, period, buddy. Sorry. We like to share the pain.
That's fine. Then I can ask him the bizarre Shogun Warrior questions.
Yeah. We'll certainly let you help come up with those. Jason, any parting shots?
No, I'm good.
I
want to play
kid.
Yeah, okay.
I go.
Why did the Shogun Warrior Godzilla shoot his fist off? That seems quite painful.
I was expecting to see that in the new Godzilla movie.
They're saving that for the sequel, maybe?
Jeff, any parting shots?
Can I pick who I want to take the parting shot at?
Sure.
Billy Kilcar.
All right. Jenna?
I'll definitely be Jeff every month. If any of you other guys can make it up or down, whichever way, that'd be awesome. So be nice to meet all you guys.
Hey, did you just get fresh with us?
I did. That's how I roll.
No, it sounds like you're going to have about a half a dozen Joe Bros down there.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. That's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait.
Can you put in our reservation for Zombie Burger now?
No, I wish
I could. That place is crazy. But the Dead Elvis is the most amazing burger I've ever had.
The Dead Elvis?
Yeah.
What's
those
on it?
Those fried pickles they serve, I'm not going to lie, man. They like went from heaven to Des Moines.
Well, tell me more about this dead Elvis burger.
Well, so you get like, you know, half a pound of meat, and then it's got the fried egg, banana, peanut butter. When I say it out loud, it doesn't sound good, but it tastes so good.
I was just about to say, fried egg, peanut butter, but...
I know, it's bizarre, but it's so good when it... I can't even explain it. I can't put it into words.
Does that come with Maalox for dessert?
Yeah, no Maalox, but you have to wash it down with one of their gourmet shakes.
Sold!
The best part is they have 911 and the address to the nearest hospital on all their napkins.
Guys, good. Yeah. Thanks again.
Thanks, guys. Have a good one.
You too. All
right, later. So long.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Sean. It was great having you on.
Thanks for coming on, Sean.
I got one more.
Oh, boy.
Where are you going to dinner?
We are going to P.F. Chang's.
Oh, my. Really?
Yeah.
It's either the podcast or P.F. Chang's?
Yeah.
You made the right choice. All right. Go make your wife happy.
I will do that. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Thanks for taking time with us.
Oh, not a problem. Enjoy.
Yay.
Well, how'd that went all right, didn't it?
It was pretty all right.
Yeah, that wasn't too bad. It could have gone off a lot worse, but it went okay.
I felt like we kind of rushed through the segments.
We did rush through. I don't know if you were paying attention. There was a time constraint.
I was staring at this picture of that Scottish chair with the ball imprint with Brad's face on it.
He had like 10 minutes. You took 22.
Oh, well, I guess we were engaging.
Once again, the world is a safe place to be, thanks to the G.I. Joe team of experts. G.I. Joe, a real American hero.
You think they're already getting their food at P.F. Chang's?
No, they're probably still waiting for it to be served.